Well, for many years, Brett Favre was synonymous with the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, I think if you lived in Wisconsin at all, you understand that there was a lot going on when he retired and retired again, I think, and then retired again, perhaps, with him. But we have a new leader of the pack. His name is Aaron Rodgers, and there's a new book out. It's called Aaron Rodgers, Leader of the Pack, and it was written and put together by our next guest today. Rob Reichel has covered the Green Bay Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Packers Plus since 2001. He received 12 awards or has received 12 awards from the Wisconsin Newspaper Association for his writing and his editing. And again, he's the author of the new book, Aaron Rodgers, Leader of the Pack. You may have some questions about Aaron Rodgers, and are you a Packer fan? How about an Aaron Rodgers fan? What impressed you about Aaron Rodgers? You might join in with those kinds of questions, or others as well, as we visit with Rob. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We would love to hear from you. And Rob Reichel with us in our Milwaukee studios. Rob, are you there?
I am, Larry.
Ah, good. Good to see you. Good. You never know until the last instant whether or not everything's going to work, and it's worked today. So it's great to have you along, and I really enjoyed reading through your book today. It must have been fun to write about Aaron Rodgers.
It was fun, Larry, and a little bit frenzied, to be honest with you. The impetus of the book kind of came during the Super Bowl run, and my publishing company only wanted the book, and the publishing company is Triumph Books. They only wanted the book done if Green Bay won the Super Bowl. And the catch was, Larry, and the caveat was my deadline on it was 1 week after the game ended. So it was a little bit of a frenzied pace, and kind of brought me back to the college years where you started a term paper at midnight and it was due for your 9 a.m. lecture.
Oh, man. Well, and you weren't really just starting from complete scratch, because obviously you've been writing about the Packers and about Aaron Rodgers for quite a while now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I certainly had some terrific points to start with, and was able to kind of rework a number of old stories inside the book with a new angle and a new spin. But clearly, we wanted to make the book as fresh and up to date as possible. And so I would say still, Larry, the overwhelming majority of the book centers on the 2010 Packers and their semi-miraculous run to a Super Bowl championship win, and we wanted to take you all the way through that game against Pittsburgh and get you as much information on that as possible, and certainly the pictures as well.
I think the average, photos are great.
Thanks. The average person, I think, that picks up this book is really going to be impressed with what was packed in there in terms of art and the updated pictures from the Super Bowl and things to that effect. So mm-hmm. it's a nice ride through Aaron's life and time in Green Bay, and then a lot clearly on the 2010 Packers and that Super Bowl win.
What makes the Packers and their fans so unique?
I think more than anything, Larry, that clearly they're just the fans are the owners. At the end of the day, the New York Yankees and the Boston Celtics and the Texas Rangers and the LA Lakers don't have shareholder meetings every July where Joe Sixpack living next door to you can file into Lambeau Field and ask the president a question, because you know what? He's got, now granted these are worthless pieces of paper, but he still has stock in the team. And I mean it does give these fans and these people the unique ability to, I think, have interaction with management that just doesn't exist in a lot of places. I mean, if you track the Packers' history, there's three or four times through the course of their existence where the fans just saved them. I mean, we were real close through the 40s and 50s at times to not having the Green Bay Packers. In this state, we've seen what a potential circus it can become, Larry, to get a new stadium built. Well, in 2000 and 2001 over there in Green Bay, Bob Harlan went out and knocked on doors and pounded the pavement and got the taxpayers of Brown County to kick in a decent amount of money for that renovation of Lambeau Field. And if they do it again, I'm sure that's the route they're going to take. The fans are just immersed with Packers in everything. That they are the owners, and at the end of the day, I think they've got far more interaction than a typical fan ever would.
Well, let's turn to Aaron Rodgers a bit. He showed some promise as a young player, but his path was not necessarily a traditional or a smooth one. Can you talk a little bit about Aaron as maybe in high school, junior, and college, and so forth?
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. I mean, that to me was one of the more enjoyable parts of doing this book. I went back and talked to a lot of people from Aaron's past, and I think we all know the story that that he was drafted 24th and sat in the green room on that April night of 2005, and that he sat for 3 years behind Brett Favre and was patient and waited his turn. But if you follow Aaron back all the way to his high school days, I mean, he was a long shot back then. He showed up in high school at 5'2", Larry, 130 pounds. The varsity coach at the time had no idea who he was. He wasn't on the radar to, maybe be the quarterback up at the varsity at some point in his life. He was a little bit of a late bloomer, but he loved football, and his work ethic really was second to none. He was one of these guys that was in there, 6:30 every morning, getting in his workouts and putting in the time, even at 15, 16 years old, Larry, when, most teenagers are
right.
are getting there 12 hours of sleep or whatever, and you can barely ruffle them out of bed by noon. But, so Aaron, even in high school, was kind of a step ahead, I think, of most kids in terms of work ethic. And again, he was a little bit of a late bloomer. He had a late growth spurt where he put on some height and weight. And I think, if I remember right, Larry, he was about 6 foot, 170, 175 pounds by his senior year. But still, he had no Division I interest. He had a pretty good junior season, but had no division interest. He came from Chico, California, and it's not a big area up there in terms of camps that go on every summer where a lot of these high school kids can kind of go showcase their talents and ability with passing camps and things like that. So it's not overly recruited by schools to the south like a USC or some of the Arizonas, some of those other Pac-10 schools out there. They don't go as far north a lot of times as Chico. So Aaron was kind of a hidden gem up there. And he had a really good senior year as well. And the local junior college coach, a guy named Craig Rigsby, had seen Aaron actually at some workouts and some games and was interested and went to Aaron's house, I want to say late spring of his senior year, and tried to talk the parents into having Aaron come to Butte College, which is the junior college there in Chico. And now Aaron was a really good student, 3.5. Grade point, about 13.10 on his SATs. So he had, some real options in terms of academic institutions. But he wanted to play football. It's really what he loved. He was also given baseball some thought at the time, Larry, because he did have a really good arm. He threw in the low 90s.
Oh.
You still see the arm today. And, Rigsby, the junior college coach, really had to do some work to get mom and dad to even give the JUCO route a chance. And Aaron eventually decided to try to go to the junior college. And what's interesting, and one of the funny things I found out when he went to junior college, Larry, is that they had a returning starter. And, Aaron was really a long shot to even be the starter in junior college. I mean, if you think about the odds he's overcome, I mean, it really is fascinating. They had a kid named Brian Botts coming back, and at the end of fall camp, this Rigsby, who was the head coach, asked all his assistants, guys, who do you think we should go with as our starting quarterback? And every assistant on the staff voted for this Botts kid. And then Rigsby, who was the head coach, said, you know what? This is why I get paid to be a head coach. We're going to go with Aaron Rodgers. And a game or two in, Rodgers had been brilliant, and Botts saw the writing on the wall, and Botts transferred. And Aaron had a terrific year at Butte Junior College and went to the University of California and eventually became a first-round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. But if you trace his steps, Larry, all the way back, high school, junior college, even on draft night of 2005 where he sat around and waited, and then his 3 years of waiting with the Green Bay Packers, pretty much at every step he's kind of bucked the odds.
Yeah, he certainly has. And frankly, I don't think he was all that good in his first year or two. It's a good thing he wasn't thrown into the fire right away, because he had some learning to do.
No question about it. He wasn't ready to play. If you look at kind of his counterpart, the guy he's compared to most from that 2005 draft, a guy named Alex Smith, who went first to the 49ers. Smith was kind of rushed into action, and to this day, Smith is trying to find himself. He's played for, well, he's played 6 years, and I think he's played for six offensive coordinators out there in San Francisco. Aaron had some stability right away, even though Mike Sherman left after the 2005 season. Aaron's had the same head coach, and for the most part, the same he's had the same quarterback coach, and for the most part, the same offensive coordinator his whole run here in Green Bay. So he's had real consistency and continuity. And the fact he was able to sit and watch and learn and wait for those 3 years where you know he became a respected guy in the locker room because of how hard he worked. I think people believed in him by the time he was ready to take over. He knew the offense inside and out. He wouldn't have known that when he first showed up in 2005. And really, Larry, he improved his body and his throwing mechanics immensely in that time too. His body fat was certainly lowered. And then Mike McCarthy, when he came in 2006, adjusted Aaron's kind of delivery and release point a little bit. He lowered it and the trajectory of that. And now today, Aaron looks just like such a more polished and natural quarterback. When he first came in, he looked a lot more robotic. So all those things in terms of sitting and waiting were great for Aaron. I mean, in a perfect world, that's how every NFL team would love to do it, have a veteran in place and let your young guy learn and wait and then kind of come in his second or third year and play. And it honestly, it was ideal for Green Bay.
Yeah, it turned out very well. We had a caller from Neillsville who wonders, any chance of the Packers doing another stock offer? It's been 20 years since the last one.
You know, Larry, I have not heard rumblings of that, but as we all know, with financial issues as crazy as they are for a lot of these teams, and we'll see too when this NFL lockout, I guess, comes to an end, how some of this money is split and distributed and things to that effect. If the owners are going to get a better deal than they did at the last labor negotiation. But my guess right now would probably be no, at least in the immediate future.
Okay. Rob Reichel, our guest today, who has covered the Green Bay Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Packers Plus since 2001 and is the author of Aaron Rodgers, Leader of the Pack. He's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today, so I'll invite you to join in. We'll be back with Rob right after this look at the news. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. My guest today, Rob Reichel, who has covered the Green Bay Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel since 2001. He has 12 awards from the Wisconsin Newspaper Association for his writing and editing, and he is the author of this new book just out, Aaron Rodgers, Leader of the Pack. Great to have him along, and certainly if you have questions about Aaron Rodgers, what is he like? What do you think of him as a quarterback or a person? I hope you'll join in. Or maybe you'll have questions about the Packers in general. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And, Rob, let's take some calls. Allison in Green Bay is up with a question for you or a comment. Hi, Allison.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, I would just like to say that I've been living in Wisconsin my entire life. I was born and raised to bleed green and gold, and the last 4 years I've gotten to live in Green Bay while I was attending college, and I just have to say that I think we have something really special with the amount of public activity that the Packers are involved in. I feel like there are public figures, both Aaron Rodgers and a lot of the other men on the team, they're very public in the community, they're all around town, and they're very accepting of the fact that they're heroes. And I can't speak for the rest of the NFL, any other states, but I think that's something special and unique about these guys, that they're very public. And I love that.
Well, thanks for calling, Allison. A comment, Rob?
I think she's dead on. I think the one common theme players have inside of Green Bay's locker room is just how unique the city is and the love affair that the town has, you know, with the Packers. I mean, if you go play, Larry, for the New York Giants or San Francisco 49ers or anywhere like that, you're just another guy in town and in a lot of these bigger cities and places like that. Green Bay is certainly one of the top 3 to 5 unique places, I think, in all of sports in terms of a city. And Allison's right. I mean, it started, I think, it maybe didn't start, but it certainly took on a new life in terms of the fan friendliness with Bob Harlan. He was a remarkable president. The Packers went through some brutal times in terms of their public image and how people viewed them in the 80s in the Forrest Gregg years. They needed a reversal from that. Bob Harlan was a lifelong PR man. He was terrific at kind of orchestrating that. And the Packers are terrific these days in terms of getting out, shaking hands. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers jokes from time to time. He'll still go to the mall and do his Christmas shopping and things to that effect, which if you think about it, is pretty hard to do, I would imagine, in Green Bay to try to get in and out of the Gap or something like that. But these guys, no doubt about it, are heavily involved in the community, and I think for the most part they understand they're in a fishbowl area, but for the most part I think they embrace it.
Don in Soldiers Grove, we turn to you next. Hi, Don. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon, Larry, and good afternoon, Rob. I was just reading, I think it was the 2009 NFL preview, and Sports Illustrated, Peter King was interviewing all these young quarterbacks, I think Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer and guys like that, and of course Aaron Rodgers, and he asked Carson about, well, you know, he says he was glad he's in California because nobody cares out there if you're a quarterback, and they asked Aaron about it, and he says, well, that was one thing, being in Green Bay, it always made him realize how lucky he was he didn't have to work for a living. And I always, you know, right there, that just sold me on the guy. And then over the last couple of years, especially 2 years ago when the Vikings were good, and there's still a lot of Brett Favre admirers around here, and it just almost made me sick to my stomach when the Vikings were winning. And the day that they were in the championship game, I seen a guy wearing a Vikings jersey number 4 in our local town, and I almost wanted to wring his neck, even though I'm not a violent person. But that's just how, you know, I just didn't think this guy was getting a fair shake. And I'm being a dairy farmer, I felt like Brett Favre was kind of like one of our old dairy cows. It was just time for him to go to pasture anyway, so we're the market. So anyway, you can have some comments on that.
All right. Thanks, Don. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, Don hit on a few things there. I'll try to touch a couple of them. First of all, in terms of Aaron as a guy, you know, he referenced that 09 Sports Illustrated story and some of those quarterbacks. And I think the one thing the Packers have to feel terrific about is not only do they have an outstanding quarterback right now moving forward. He's 27 years old. He's in the prime of his life. He's going to have another 5 to 7 years here where he should play at an extremely high level. But I think the one thing, too, about Aaron that maybe people don't realize enough is he's really grounded. And, he's just one of these guys, and especially now, Larry, and, you know, when we have the lockout going on, there's so much more potential for football players, let's just say, to go out and get in some kind of trouble. I don't think that's the case with Aaron at all. He was raised well. He's a good kid. I think he's going to avoid the headlines in terms of that kind of stuff, like a Ben Roethlisberger or somebody like that. So first of all, you know, in terms of a face of the franchise, I think moving forward, the Packers have an outstanding guy in that respect. You know, second, he touched a little bit on the Brett Favre stuff. I will say this. When Ted Thompson traded Brett Favre in the summer of 2008, I thought it was a mistake. And I wrote it in the book, and I will say that, you know, to this day, I was wrong. Brett Favre still had some life in him, as we saw. He had a really good year in 08 with the Jets until he got hurt, and he was within a win of taking the Vikings to the Super Bowl in 09. But I wasn't 100% sold yet on Aaron. Clearly, Ted Thompson knew what he was doing. He's today proven to be the smartest man in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to football. All the doubters and the naysayers and the critics like myself have been proven wrong, and there is absolutely no doubt about it. Moving forward, Ted Thompson made the right choice in that summer of 08.
And, you know, Aaron's a pretty young guy, too, to be a leader, I think. It's great to have leadership from a guy as young as he is.
Well, it is remarkable, Larry, if you think about it. He's going to start his seventh year here if we have football this fall. And that does make you in these,
well,
you know,
that makes
in these crazy NFL times. Yeah, that makes you, you know, certainly a veteran and pushing one of the, you know, longer tenures on the team all of a sudden in a sport where the average lifespan's about 3.5 years. He'll have doubled it this year, and he's only 27 years old. But, you know, Aaron did a really good job early in his career. As he kind of waited for his time, he wasn't a locker room lawyer by any respects, but he was trying to get teammates, you know, just to trust him and respect him. He did things like, you know, he held little barbecues at his house and stuff to that effect, where he just tried to bond. He went out with these guys a lot more than a Brett Favre would have. You know, keep in mind, Brett Favre was 36, 37, 38 years right. old at that point in time. And, you know, Brett was at a different stage in his life where he didn't want to run around with a lot of 22-year-old guys anymore. But it was perfect for Aaron. And he kind of won that segment and facet of the locker room. So when his time came in 2008 to take over for Brett, he had a lot of those guys in his corner already in terms of what they knew about him. They all trusted him, I think. They knew he wasn't a slacker, that he worked his tail off. He was in early, stayed late. And then Larry, these guys had seen enough in practice for 3 years to realize that he certainly had some talent and ability too, because at the end of the day, that's what matters.
What really was his relationship with Favre? Was there any mentoring that went on? You talk about that a little bit in your book.
You know, and I tried. I mean, I could write a whole book on that, Larry. I really could, and I'm sure somebody will at some point in time. Just that the drama that maybe existed there. I tried to avoid the TMZ element and kind of just make this a book about Aaron. But in terms of mentoring, no, there wasn't a whole lot. I think Aaron was kind of force fed to learn from by himself and Aaron's got a terrific quarterback coach, a guy named Tom Clemens, and his offensive coordinator named Joe Philbin is outstanding too. And then Mike McCarthy runs something that's a little bit unique in pro football. He runs a quarterback school every offseason, and Aaron benefited tremendously from that. Honestly, Larry, a lot more than he probably would have from Brett. But, you know, Brett didn't want Aaron there. I mean, there's no doubt. Coming off that season that Green Bay had in 04, they were 10-6. They needed a little bit of help on defense. Brett needed another playmaker moving forward. They didn't need, and that ended up being, and then the next year, Larry, 2005, ended up being Mike Sherman's last year. But both Brett Favre and Mike Sherman, you know, they didn't want a backup quarterback. This was Ted Thompson's first draft pick. He was thinking about 2008 and 2009 and 2010. And obviously, guys like Mike Sherman and Brett Favre were thinking about 2005, 2006. And Mike Sherman, of course, never saw it to 2006 because Green Bay went 4-12 then in 2005. But that first year was pretty rocky. Brett and Aaron didn't spend a ton of time together. Brett didn't want him there. By the time, you know, Brett played his last year in Green Bay of 07, Brett and Aaron were the only two quarterbacks on the roster. So the relationship had gotten better. It wasn't nearly as frosty, nearly as icy. You know, I know Brett and Deanna had Aaron over a couple times for dinner. So it was definitely better. But then it all blew up again in that summer of 2008 after Brett initially retired that March and then changed his mind later on that summer. That was a tough position for Aaron to be thrust into, where in essence he thought he was going to have to fight Brett maybe in a training camp battle just to keep his job. Now, I know Aaron's reached out a few times to Brett, or he did early on after Brett got moved to the Jets, and Brett never, you know, responded back to him. So I think it, you know, that could be one of those situations, Larry, that still might be 3, 4, 5 years away from fully healing itself.
Keith in Edgar, Wisconsin, up next. Hi, Keith. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Say, just a little over a year ago, my wife and I stopped over at Lambeau Field there and took the tour. And one of the things we noticed was that the card tables around the area still had Brett Favre's number on them. And I'm hoping and wondering if those are thrown out and we've now got Rodgers' number on those tables scattered around since he's now got his Super Bowl.
Well, Rob?
Well, I don't know enough to comment directly on the tables, Keith. I will say this. I would hope time kind of heals all wounds. I think this has been like a bad divorce for a lot of people. And I would hope at some point in time, people kind of step back and look at the big picture. The Green Bay Packers were pretty irrelevant in the National Football League in the late 1980s, early 1990s. I mean, we're talking about a 25-year window between, you know, Vince Lombardi and Mike Holmgren, where that organization was kind of the borderline laughing stock of football. I think they made 4 playoff appearances in that time. But Brett Favre, to a large extent, kind of took the Packers, again, from doormats to champions. And I'm telling you guys right now, Brett Favre never had the kind of talent around him that Aaron Rodgers does today. Aaron Rodgers is a terrific young quarterback, but he's playing with some Cadillac wide receivers and tight ends right now. His offensive line is terrific. Brett Favre never had that kind of talent, but yet Brett Favre won 160 football games for the Green Bay Packers in a 16-year career there, which is a pretty remarkable number, and everybody knows he didn't miss a game. There's a reason the Green Bay Packers came back to life and kind of came back to prominence, and I know the ending was ugly, but at some point in time, I hope people step back and kind of see the big picture and say, boy, this guy was remarkable for our franchise.
And at some point, I expect that number will be retired, his number.
It will, no doubt about it, Larry. But again, I people ask about the Brett Favre-Aaron Rodgers relationship. There's no doubt the Brett Favre-Ted Thompson relationship is much worse. So the question becomes, you know, does that get fixed and solved here in the next couple of years so Brett's number can get retired? Still, maybe, Larry, the bigger question is Brett Favre retired? You know, yeah. Let's give it a year or two here and make sure this guy is actually done from football, because it's the whole, you know, fool me once kind of game that he's been playing here for 5 to 7 years, I guess. We go back a long way with Brett's boy crying wolf stuff, don't we? But, you know, I think Ted Thompson may have to be gone as general manager at some point in time for Brett Favre to come back and participate in a ceremony like that. And I'll tell you what, after Ted Thompson just won a Super Bowl, he's not going anywhere for a while.
I was just about to say, that's going to be a long, long time probably away. Well, what is Aaron like personally? You know, there was an email that kind of went around, I got it more than once, about Aaron giving a talk at a place for, it was at a coming together of parents who had lost a sibling. And he apparently had given a wonderful speech. And then the story went on to talk about how he had signed a particular book. And in the fashion that he signed it was quite moving to the parent, because the parent had asked him to sign as though he was signing to the daughter who had passed away. And it was gave me I thought, man, if this is a true story, he's quite a remarkable guy.
I think that's fair. I think he is a pretty unique 27-year-old, Larry. I mean, I think he's like a lot of guys who are still at that age trying to find themselves on some level. But for the most part, I touched on this earlier. I think he's extremely well-grounded. He's active in the community. He really is a guy, Larry, who, you know, he doesn't run away and shy from the public attention maybe that a Tom Brady does or somebody like that today. He embraces it on a lot of levels. He's, you know, he'll go and play a foursome of golf with his buddies and doesn't mind who sees him. He's very active on Twitter and things like that. He doesn't run and hide from the fans, certainly the way Brett Favre did at the end of his career. Now, again, time changes, you know, things for a lot of people, and we'll see what he's like at 32 or 35 or something like that. But, you know, he's not a guy that's going to run, I think, from fame and celebrity and fortune. I think he's going to try to use it for good and not, you know, hide so much from the paparazzi.
How now that he has this Super Bowl title and your book, by the way, maybe you could go back and maybe we should just do that right now. Go back and tell us tell our listeners how your book is organized. It's a tremendous year, isn't it?
It's remarkable. You know, the way the book was structured, Larry, is we kind of start out with the celebratory scene from Dallas and the Super Bowl and kind of everything that went into that. And then it jumps you to Aaron's, you know, early playing days, you know, even how in middle school football was everything to him. And he would tell his teachers he wants to play in the National Football League and stuff to that effect. And then we take you through his playing career kind of from A to Z, Again, at Pleasant Valley High School and later at Butte College and the University of California, you know, all the way through again, Larry, to those early years in Green Bay where he had a couple of really bad summers in 2005 and 2006. Well, his summer in 06 was actually pretty good, but his playing time in 2006 in the regular season was disastrous, where there were a lot of people out there wondering, you know, what did Ted Thompson do here? Is this really the guy that's going to replace Brett Favre? But then Aaron took a big jump in 07, and then when he got his chance in 08, he was pretty ready, even though the team slipped back to a 6-10 season, and there were a lot of questions if Aaron was a closer and could win games late. And then we take you all the way through the 2010 season, and again, I think people right now are still on a Super Bowl high, and rightfully so, but it gets real easy, Larry, I think, to forget that at one point in late December, I think December 19th, that team was 8-6, and they were fighting for their playoff lives. Now, they got hot at the right time. They won six straight games to bring the Lombardi Trophy home, but you know, after they came back from New England on that Sunday night of December 19, they were an 8-6 football team, and they needed some help to get into the playoffs. Otherwise, Larry, we're really, you know, one loss or one win, maybe by the Eagles or somebody else out there, or the Giants, something like that. We're talking about, you know, what's the long term future right now of Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson, and do they have the right quarterback going forward in Aaron Rodgers? But you know, they caught some breaks at the end of the regular season. They got incredibly hot and played terrific in the postseason. Larry won a Super Bowl, and my God, if you think about it, they're still one of the youngest teams in football, and they finished last season with 15 guys on the injured reserve list. That they're set up right now, Larry, to maybe win two or three more rings over the next 5 to 7 years.
And I think Mike McCarthy, the book's about Aaron Rodgers, but I think Mike McCarthy might have done one of his better coaching jobs this past year.
It's definitely his best, Larry, in Green Bay, and it's probably one of the better ones the guys around the National Football League have seen in quite some time. They take the vote for Coach of the Year before the regular season ends. So really, I think at the time the vote was actually taking place last year, Larry, the Packers weren't even a playoff team for sure. But I think Bill Belichick won the award, if I remember right. And of course, the Patriots were 14-2, so he was a deserving candidate. But when you look back and think about it, the Packers played last season, you know, with JerMichael Finley for only four or five games. Ryan Grant was hurt the first game of the year. They lost Nick Barnett and Morgan Burnett and Mike Neal on defense. I mean, not only were they losing guys, Larry, but they were losing starters and high-quality starters. And yet he somehow found that, you know, well, first of all, Ted Thompson found him some really interesting players to kind of fill in with, guys he'd either drafted or signed off the street. And then McCarthy coached the bejesus out of them. And that team is certainly one of the kind of more Cinderella stories of Super Bowl champions that we've ever seen.
And I like the sort of the positive approach he kept taking that I think, I hope and assume that it rubbed off on the team. I mean, he was really always talking, we're going to win.
Even more than positive, Larry, almost cocky. And
yeah.
And Mike McCarthy was never like that, but certainly in that last month of the regular season, he turned. I remember before they went to New England, I think he used the term, we're nobody's underdogs, because they were going into that game a 14-point underdog. And he kind of carried that theme moving forward. And to be honest, with a young team that was struggling a little bit at the time, that had a lot of new parts and a lot of guys that really were still trying to prove themselves as being frontline players in the league, it was the perfect approach. And McCarthy, I mean, I've never seen Mike McCarthy like that in his 6 years as the Packer head coach, or five, I guess. I'm sorry. He was so bold, even leading into the Super Bowl, Larry, on that Saturday night before the game. The fact he passed out Super Bowl rings, or he got his guys, you know, fitted for Super Bowl rings. It's a remarkable story, and just one of, I mean, again, you can call it confidence or take it to the next step and call it cocky, but it certainly played well in the locker room, and his guys really loved it and certainly thrived on it.
Yeah, they certainly did. And Aaron Rodgers, as much or more than anybody else on the team, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And if you look at Aaron now, you know, going forward, he's a guy, Larry, without question, that's vaulted himself into the top three quarterbacks probably in football, probably one of the 5 to 10 best players in football. I mean, if you look at the Packers as being such a young team, all their stars are still probably between the ages of about 23 and 27, aside from maybe a few guys that are pushing later 20s or early 30s, but they are really built for the long haul with kind of Aaron leading the way. I mean, unless something dramatic happens where, you know, these concussions catch up to Aaron or he sustains some kind of other injury, you know, this is a team that should win 12 games a year for the next 5 years, and then once the playoffs get here, anything goes.
Well, Rob, you've written a fun book, and I thank you so much for taking time to be with us today to talk about it. I really enjoyed visiting with you.
Well, I enjoyed it too, Larry, and I just want to let people know real quick, they can find the book at triumphbooks.com. They can find it in all major bookstores, or if anybody wants a signed copy, they can simply email me at robreischel@gmail.com.
And Reischel is R-E-I-S-C-H-E-L.
Thank you for that, Larry. That is correct, yes.
Rob, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
A lot of fun, Larry. Thank you.
Rob Reischel, R-E-I-S-C-H-E-L. That's how that's his name spelled. The author of Aaron Rodgers, Leader of the Pack. Fun talking with him. It's kind of fun to talk about the Packers. We rarely do that, and so I enjoyed the visit, and I hope you did too. And I hope you'll tune in tomorrow when Scott Craven joins us to talk about the world of wildlife. Stay with us.